Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Today we'll be looking at verses 1 through 9. The sermon is entitled, Wisdom Results in Self-Discipline. Wisdom results in self-discipline. So by way of introduction, let me lay a little framework. First, by asking a simple question, and that is, how important is self-discipline in one's life? Just think about that. Just for a few seconds. That question. How important is it that you and I possess and be able to exercise self-discipline? Can the importance of that be overstated? I guess that's the second question. How much heartache might we avoid if we possessed an adequate amount of self-discipline? How many financial and or relational mistakes might we avoid? A plethora of life mistakes. According to Webster's dictionary, the word self-discipline is defined in this way. The act or power of disciplining or controlling one's self, one's desires, one's actions, one's habits, one's words, etc. So it really is a reining in of oneself, the controlling of one's self. It is the act or the power to be able to do those things. But I want to remind us here and now at the outset that the self-discipline that I will be speaking about today, which is a byproduct of wisdom, is not that self-discipline that we might obtain in our own power. I'm speaking of a quality of self-discipline that is only available as a direct result of possessing and effectively applying wisdom to our daily living. There's no doubt, there's no question, that we have all, and probably do now, exercise self-discipline in a variety of situations, at least to some degree. Believers in Christ and unbelievers alike exercise a form and quality and an amount of self-discipline. But that self-discipline is sporadic, and it is very short-lived. The thing we avoid today, we don't avoid tomorrow. The things we don't say today, we say tomorrow. That is a very inferior quality of self-discipline. It is seeking to control oneself in one's own power. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, as for me, I don't speak for me, I can't do it. Not effectively and not consistently. And neither can you. Has anybody found themselves in the same boat with me? You try, you try, you try, you succeed, you succeed, you succeed, you fail miserably. You try, you pick up, you pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, you try, you try, you have victory, you fail miserably. Anybody can say, can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
So, we're talking here about a higher quality of self-discipline. A self-discipline that can be consistently exercised, but is the result of wisdom. It is that byproduct of possessing and effectively using wisdom. Do you want that? Do you want that kind of self-discipline? Would it be good for you? Be good for me. So, first point this morning, in verses 1, 2, 5, and 7. So, in these nine verses, we're going to take them in sections because that's how the writer addressed this issue of wisdom resulting in self-discipline. Verses 1, 2, 5, and 7. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2 first. I'm going to make some comments. The first point this morning is acquire wisdom and understanding. Acquire wisdom and understanding. Do you want self-discipline? Well, the first thing you got to do is acquire wisdom and understanding. That's the point. Here we go. Verses 1 and 2. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. The instruction in these two verses to hear and to give attention to jump out of this verse, verse 1. I want you to notice that. Hear instruction and give attention. How many of you know from experience what it's like to have refused to hear the instruction of your parents? Let me talk to anyone who's over age, would be, say 21. If you, at a point in your life, you refused to hear the instruction of your parents, and it cost you dearly, raise your hand. Hold them up. Keep them up. Anybody that's really young right now, and you're still under your parents' authority, and they're trying to give you instruction, look at the hands. Look at the hands. Adults, put them up if you've done that before. And you paid a dear price. You don't have to be the smartest young person in the world to figure out that what I just said is pretty valuable, right? A lot of hands up in this room. I heard you laughing out there, Dad. And so we refuse to hear this instruction of our parents, and we go our own way, not having paid attention to what they said. We heard it, but we really didn't hear it. And what happened? Well, hiding behind this veil of exercising our independence. And I don't need to be told how to do things. I can figure it out on my own. We paid a heavy price. We ignored their counsel. We paid a heavy price. And let's go ahead and call a spade a spade. We were hard-headed and stupid. There it is. I said the word stupid. Now, surely none of us in this room are stupid anymore. We act it sometimes, don't we? David is here providing his son Solomon with good teaching. That is, wise teaching. And he clearly instructs him, son, don't forsake my law. Well, listen, David didn't have any law that was his law. He is speaking specifically here about the law of God. He had made it his law. He had owned it for himself. So he's referring to scriptural precepts and principles. He's trying to teach his son how to live life wisely by applying scriptural precepts and principles. In other words, apply the Word of God to daily living. A man shaping his son, shaping him, not in the world's ways, but by applying the Word of God to his own son's life circumstances. Now, would we constitute this to be wise instruction for any father to seek to teach his son how to live life under the precepts and principles of the Word of God. That's wise instruction. Well, how about us? Whether we're young in this room and we're still under the authority of our parents, or we're older now, we're grown, we're in our own homes, we're responsible for our own selves, are we willing to hear and pay attention to the wise instruction of others? When the truth is, the only thing they're seeking to do is to apply scriptural precepts and principles to our lives. You know, we need each other for that. We need to be speaking wisdom into each other's life. Therefore, we need to be wise so that we can build each other up. We can instruct one another. We can teach one another. We can bring to one another's mind constantly the principles and precepts of the Word of God so that we don't go through life suffering all the time by making bad mistakes and exercising a lack of self-discipline. How can the importance of this necessity, hearing good teaching, getting wisdom, how can that be strengthened in our minds, the necessity of this? Well, look at verses 5 through 7. Let's read the text. Let's strengthen it a little bit. Get wisdom. Do you see the exclamation point there? Get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, wisdom, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Getting wisdom and getting understanding is paramount. You like that word? Getting wisdom and getting understanding is paramount. For without it, there will be no self-discipline of the quality the Word of God speaks of. Wisdom. What is wisdom briefly? In practical terms, the skill to live a godly life. That's wisdom. The skill to possess the skill to live a godly life. And understanding? What is that? The skill to make right decisions. Woo! Are those things paramount? The skill to live a godly life and the skill to make right decisions? How important is this? It's paramount. Without wisdom and without understanding, there will be no ability, zero ability to exercise self-discipline in our lives. And Solomon instructs us here in this verse, wisdom is the principal thing. In other words, it is in first in order of rank. It is the chief thing. It is the most important thing. It is the most vital thing. So get it. And while you're getting, get understanding. Get the skill to make right decisions. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. But what if we don't currently possess self-discipline to any meaningful degree? Self-discipline of an enduring quality. Well, it is precisely then, and I say it again, precisely because we have not obtained a proper amount of wisdom and understanding from God. We can be intelligent, educated, skilled, utterly confident in our natural abilities, have no doubt whatsoever in our own ability to succeed in whatever it is, and yet be void of that which is essential to living our lives to the glory of God, and is essential to making right decisions. Decisions that are able to be made in accordance with biblical principles and precepts. And as a result, with all of our smarts, with all of our training, with all of our skill, with all of our connections, with all of everything, we fail. Over and over and over and over, we make a mess, make a mess, make a mess. We're not making right decisions because we're not applying God's Word to our decision making, because we don't know how to apply God's Word to our decision making, because we're not wise. We have not acquired wisdom and understanding. It is paramount. We must acquire wisdom and understanding if we are to be able to exercise self-discipline of a biblical quality. Get wisdom, get understanding. Point number two, embrace wisdom. Verses 3, 4, and 8. Let's read verse 4, verses 3 and 4 first. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, "Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Exalt her," verse 8, "and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her." Did you get that? So what are we to do? What are we to do if we admit that we suffer from a deficiency of wisdom and understanding, and by extension, self-discipline? Before I answer that question, what are we to do if we know that we know that we know in our heart of hearts that we are suffering from a deficiency of the ability to live a life skillfully for God, the ability to make right decisions based upon scriptural precepts and principles? What are we to do? The first, before I answer that, I want to ask again so that we can put ourselves, are you here? Are you awake? Are you listening? How many of us in this room will be honest and say, "I desperately need more wisdom. I desperately need a greater ability to make right decisions. Decisions that are laced and controlled by what the Word of God says. I desperately need more self-control, more self-discipline. My life is proving it out. I need it." Will anyone say that we need more of those things? Yeah. We need it. Yeah. So what are we to do? Well, the first thing we need to do is confess our pridefulness to God. Because the reason we don't have it is we're prideful. I'm talking to those in this room who profess faith in Christ now. We know full well what the Word of God teaches us. I would think we've been taught what the Word of God says. You know that you have needed wisdom. I know that I have needed wisdom. You know and I know that we need the ability to make right decisions, decisions that are made in accordance with the Word of God. Right? You and I know how desperately we need self-discipline in our life if we're going to bring glory to God and live a joyful life. And the reason we don't have it is because we're prideful. We have not applied ourselves. We have wanted to be the king of our own life. We have wanted to be our own master. We have not been submitting wholly to Christ and to His Word. For if we had, we would have been more eagerly and effectively pursuing these things. And the truth of the matter is, it's not God's fault if we don't possess what we need. The reason we don't have it is because we haven't adequately pursued it. And the reason we haven't adequately pursued it is because we've been prideful men and women. Let me let that sink in. It's the truth. It's just the truth. It doesn't, putting God in a box and taking Him out on Sunday will not work. Dressing up and looking right and talking right and doing right on Sunday won't work if we're not taking our Bibles out on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and reading the Word of God and praying diligently every day and really desiring deep in our hearts to live to the glory of Almighty God 24/7. We will never get wisdom and understanding, nor will we ever exercise self-discipline until we come to the place where we humble ourselves in the sight of God, repent of our sins, receive His forgiveness, accept that forgiveness, put our feet on the rock of Christ, and move forward to the glory of God with the mindset that says, I am not here for me, I don't live for me, I've been purchased by the blood of Christ, I'm His property, I have to do what He says, I want to do what He says, that'll bring me the most joy and bring Him the most glory. That's where we got to get to. That's what's got to happen. We must embrace wisdom. We must exalt her. That's what we read in these verses. We must exalt her. You know, the things we value, we exalt. The things we value, we exalt. We do. Don't we? Isn't it the truth? I mean, come on. The things we really value most, we exalt the most. Huh? Well, we're being taught here to exalt her. Exalt wisdom. Raise the bar in your heart as to the value of wisdom and understanding the desperate need for it that we might be rewarded with self-discipline. Third point today, and the final point, cherish wisdom. Cherish wisdom. Do we want self-discipline? Do we want it? Do we really want it? Then we must cherish wisdom. Verses 6 and 9. Read the text with me. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Did you hear that? Do not forsake her, wisdom, and she, wisdom, will preserve you. Love her, love wisdom, and she will keep you. Verse 9. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. The Lord knows, and we know too, how we need to be preserved by someone greater than ourselves. Oh, my, my. We know that, don't we? I mean, really. Our souls must be preserved by God, lest they be destroyed. But we need to be preserved in other ways as well. For example, we need to be preserved in our decision making, since we are always subject to make bad ones. Ooh, Lordy. I have made my share of bad mistakes, bad decisions. Have you? Well, how we need to be preserved by wisdom. And that's what the writer tells us here. Do not forsake her. Do not forsake her. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Well, God graciously, here's how good God is. This is so sweet. This is how good God is to His children when they ask Him for it, for wisdom. He gives it to them graciously, freely. All the wisdom we need, as long as we ask for it, not being a double-minded man. James makes that very clear. And what does it mean to be a double-minded man? It means to have one foot in the world and one foot with God. I'm not really sold out for Christ, so I've got one foot in the world. Now, I love Christ, and I love His kingdom, and I love His church, but I got one foot in the world because I really want to do my own thing and make my own decisions. You know, I kind of want to play both sides of the fence. I'm a fence straddler. God says, don't ask me for wisdom because I'm not going to give it to you. But God says, when your heart is mine, when you come to the place and make up your mind that your heart belongs to me, holy, you ask me for wisdom and I will give you wisdom. That you might be able to hold on to her. That you might be able to love her. So let me kind of bring this home. You know that this is true as well as I know that this is true, what I'm about to say. We don't cherish what we don't love. Do we? We don't cherish what we don't love. We can say, we might say that we do, but we don't. We cherish the things we love. So if we don't love wisdom, we don't cherish wisdom. And if we don't cherish wisdom, guess what's going to happen to us? We're going to forsake her, which is exactly what we are commanded in these verses not to do. For it is when we forsake wisdom that we do not possess understanding. And when we don't possess wisdom and understanding, the ability to live a life skillfully for God and the ability to make right decisions, decisions that are in accordance with the principles and precepts of the Word of God, when we don't possess those, guess what? We will not possess self-discipline, and we are going to make an absolute mess out of our lives. Well, I don't want that. I've made a bunch of messes through the years. And I want to be a wise man. I want to be a man who possesses understanding. I want to be a man who knows how to live his life according to what the Word of God says and be able to accept that joyful in my heart. To be a man who has the ability to exercise that quality of self-control that makes all the difference in the world. Lastly, the self-discipline that wisdom affords those who possess her is this. Favor, enjoying the favor of God's good grace. Enjoying the favor of God's good grace. Preserving us from bad decision making. And in the process, heaping the blessings of God upon us. Living a life that is beautifully enriched for the whole world to see. That in our living, Christ might be honored. That the fame of the name of our Savior Jesus would be spread abroad as people look at our lives, even if from afar. and they see men and women and boys and girls whose lives are marked by wisdom and understanding. When they see us live our lives skillfully to the glory of God, and they look at us and they wonder, how do they do that? And they know of our decision making, and they say they make decisions so differently from most people I know that they would be in awe of that. And when they see us exercise the self-discipline that will be ours in a variety of situations where others would not have self-discipline, they would lose all self-control, and yet we are calm and cool, and we are exercising that self-discipline that is so rarely seen in this world, that they would be compelled to ask us, what's going on with you? How do you do that? That Christ might be honored when we give them the answer. It's because of God. My prayer this morning is that we would come to possess that self-discipline for ourselves that is so readily available to us, if only we will first get wisdom and get understanding while we're in the midst of getting. And may the Lord bless that to be true, that we may be joyful people as we live our lives. This morning we're going to sing in response to the preached Word of God, A Mighty Fortress. A Mighty Fortress. How many of you love this old hymn? A Mighty Fortress is our God. Woo, Lordy. Let's pray together before the worship team plays. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray now that Your Spirit would take the Word of God, which is altogether true as it has been proclaimed, and apply it deeply to the hearts of these dear people. That it would penetrate deep, deep, deep into the heart and make a difference for the whole world to see and for their ultimate joy in Your glory. I pray that Satan would not steal the Word of God away from us today, Lord, but that it may germinate, sprout, grow, and bring forth much fruit in our lives, for our good and for Jesus' praise. If there are those here this morning who don't know Christ, have never professed Him as faith, as the Savior, the soul and Lord of their life, Father, we love the souls of men, women, boys and girls here at this place, and we pray that the greatest miracle of all would be seen today, that Your Spirit would reveal compassionately and mercifully to their souls their need of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of sinners and the Lord of glory, and that they would come forward as we sing and let it be known to all of us here that God has changed their heart and given them faith to believe. If our hearts are hard this morning, Lord, soften them. If our joy has not been full, fill our lives with joy. Whatever it is that would hinder us from being all that we can be for Christ, being joyful as we ought, being full of zeal for the kingdom of Jesus, whatever it is that would take away any of that which would bring You glory and bring us joy, take it away, Lord. Take it away. For Your name's sake. It is in the name of Jesus, our Savior, that great and powerful name, we pray. Amen.